Welcome to this edition of Money Life from Crown Financial Ministries. Dave Ball here along with Crown CEO Chuck Bentley. And Chuck, as we begin today, I want to invite our listeners who are in the Atlanta and Chattanooga areas to a very special event coming up in February.
Dave, it's called the God Provides Film Learning Experience Tour. So we're taking the two short films on tour with us to Atlanta and Chattanooga. This will be a family-friendly evening where we're going to watch these two films, and then I'll do some teaching as well. Both of them are appropriate for children of all ages, and I hope that you'll come and join us and bring the whole family.
The first is in Atlanta on Thursday, February 11th at Hebron Baptist Church. And the second is just a week later in Chattanooga, Tennessee on the 18th of February at Ridgedale Baptist Church. And all that information is available at crown.org/register, and you'll get all the information there.
I think it's important for our listeners to know that there's no charge for the event, but we do hope to find out who's coming in advance, and we do ask that you register before you get there.
Well, you know, Chuck, the entire theme of our God Provides film learning series, and there are six films actually in that whole series, but the core of that series is really the basis for what we're going to talk about on today's program.
You know, Dave, it is so important for Christians to embrace that truth and hang on to it because it's continually under assault in our culture. The greatest lie in regard to our finances that Satan tries to convince us of is that God is not faithful and he's not going to provide. So we get fearful of the future and we make really bad decisions. I personally have been influenced by the life of George Mueller, and he set forth in his autobiography that his life purpose was to prove the faithfulness of God to provide. And so as he took in orphans there in Bristol, England, he began slowly taking in a few at a time, watching God's faithfulness. And before long, Dave, he was up to 2,500 orphans that he was depending on the Lord to provide for every single day. And so we think about this issue in our culture today of population control and people who are telling the lie that there are too many people on the earth and not enough resources to go around. We have to confront that. We have to deal with it head on, because otherwise we begin to subtly embrace it and our birth rates go down and we fail to live out God's command that as Christians we should be fruitful and multiply and trust God as we increase the size of our families.
Well, in just a moment, we'll be joined by Rob Schwarzwalder. He is the Senior Vice President at the Family Research Council. You're listening to Money Life from Crown Financial Ministries. We'll take a short break and be right back.
Has the economy pressured you to rethink your career? Does your heart long to take the next step and pursue God's true calling for your life? Whether you're planning for your first job or your last, the Career Direct Complete Guidance System from Crown Financial Ministries can help. With Career Direct, you'll analyze four critical areas: your personality, skills, interests, and values. You'll learn more about the real you and develop a plan to grow personally and professionally. You'll learn to see your strengths. And the Career Direct Complete Guidance System is designed from a biblical perspective to help you maximize your career by maximizing your God-given gifts and abilities. Career Direct can be completed in about an hour online. For more, go to careerdirectonline.org and try the free personality ID profile. That's careerdirectonline.org.
Welcome back to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley. Our guest today is Rob Schwarzwalder of the Family Research Council. Rob, glad to have you on the program today. Thanks for joining us.
It's my great pleasure. Thanks so much for having me.
Rob, I have said to our listeners for so long that almost all of our decisions in life are spiritual decisions, especially when it comes to things like money. And the size of our family oftentimes reflects what we believe about God and how we trust him with our finances. And this population control movement is now being discussed on a global basis. And I believe that we need to dissect its origins and understand it and to be sure that we're not falling prey to some of these lies. So I wanted to have an expert join us today, and I thank you for your availability, and we so appreciate the work of the Family Research Research Council. Rob, what's the origin of the population control movement?
Wow, that's a big question. I think there are a couple of things. One of them has to do with the modern eugenics movement, and that stemmed ultimately from Darwinist thought, the belief that some species, as it were more superior than others. The modern eugenics movement took root with sort of an artificial gloss of science over it, and Margaret Sanger in the United States played a great role in that. As you know, she was the founder of Planned Parenthood, which was designed historically to eliminate what she regarded as inferior populations. That got the ball rolling. That was given added weight in the latter part of the 20th century by scientists who argued that the world was populating too quickly and that therefore resources were being unwisely depleted. Now, we know that that science is false and that there's no greater resource on the planet than human life. But those are a couple of the streams that have sort of bled together and resulted in what we, I think, accurately could term as an anti-natalist, anti-human agenda.
Yes, absolutely, Rob. And I know in the recent global climate summit held in Denmark that there was a lot of rhetoric that the problem is with the growing world population and the too many people on the earth are increasing their carbon emissions. Have you looked at that issue? And is there really a link between the number of people on the earth and our carbon emissions?
Chuck, in our country, over the last 40 years, we have made tremendous progress in decreasing the quantity of pollution that we release into the atmosphere, whether it be through carbon emissions. We now have catalytic converters, unleaded gas. In fact, emissions from automobiles in the United States have declined more than 90% over the last 40 years. Man's involvement in environmental pollution certainly has been documented and documented well. We know, for example, in China that the two major water sources that they have, the Yangtze and the Yalu rivers, are roughly 50% polluted, and that's because of human pollutants. However, it's the developing countries, not the developed countries, the industrialized West, that are having the biggest adverse effect on their environment, whether it be climatological, whether it be in terms of the way that they're emitting into the atmosphere, whether they're dumping into their rivers or into their landfills. Those are the countries that need to do the most work, and yet it's the West that is, frankly, rather flagellating itself. We're hitting ourselves over the head. As some members of Congress have said, we all want a cleaner environment, but we don't want to commit economic suicide to do it. We don't have to, and that's the good news. If we continue to use prudent measures, if we continue to give incentives to people, to consumers and to businesses to produce and to live in a way that is truly environmentally friendly, we can improve the quality of the life that we all enjoy. But the evidence for human impact on climate change is very mixed. We've seen this over the last few months with respect to so-called climate gate. Researchers have found a massive exchange of data between scientists who have sought to actually suppress evidence that would indicate that climate change is not being human-induced. And in fact, you'll even note, Chuck, that the change of term, it used to be called global warming. Now it's called climate change, and that's because in many areas, global warming clearly is not occurring. It's getting colder. And so we can't say that there is a definitive link between carbon emissions and human activity. What we can say is, as Christians, we have a responsibility biblically to be good stewards of God's creation. But that doesn't mean that we have to go ahead and destroy our economy and our way of life or massively disrupt the way ordinary Americans conduct their daily affairs in order to get there.
You know, Rob, I totally agree with you because the lie that's going out is that there are too many people consuming too many resources and there's not enough to go around. So they're painting a picture that we have a God of scarcity or no God at all, in fact, and we're all here left to our own demise. But the solution that they're proposing and firmly believe is accurate is that population control will solve the problem, where you and I believe good stewardship will solve the problem. And this lie is a direct assault on God's command to be fruitful and multiply, isn't it, Rob?
It's no question an assault on that command. God says human life is a good thing. It's the greatest blessing our planet can enjoy. and for us as parents, for us as grandparents, not to want to enjoy our children and to bear children and to look forward to grandchildren. That's like saying to God, we don't want your greatest gift. In point of fact, there are some things that are happening in our world that would point directly to an affirmation of what the Lord has called us to. You're familiar with the term the Green Revolution. The Green Revolution in the 1960s took place in India and in Southeast Asia through the breeding of hybrid grains. Tens of millions, if not hundreds of millions, of lives have been saved. We can now produce more on a small plot of ground than at any time in history. America's acreage, in terms of the actual agriculture that we have and the agricultural land that we're using, is smaller than it's ever been, but we're producing more than we ever have in our history. America truly feeds the world, and through scientific research, we can produce grains and seed types that can produce at a level that is historically unheard of. Here's a compelling and very disturbing fact. The father of the Green Revolution recently passed away, a man named Borlaug, winner of the Nobel Peace Prize. He wanted to bring in hybrid grains into Africa. Some radical environmentalists opposed him for wanting to do this because they said it would increase population in Africa. They would rather have people die than have new grains introduced that could feed the people in starving and difficult areas of the world. This was documented in the Smithsonian Magazine, hardly an ultra-conservative publication. This is the kind of approach that some of our friends on the other side are taking, and that's why we have to oppose them in their anti-life agenda.
You're listening to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley. We've got to take a quick break. We'll be right back with more from Rob Schwarzwalder from Family Research Council.
It's unlike anything you've ever experienced. Crown Financial Ministries is proud to introduce God Provides, a new film learning experience featuring Golden Globe nominee Dean Jones.
What if God told me to do something I did not understand?
Through epic storytelling, this series of six short films presents timeless illustrations of God's never-failing ability to provide for His people. See the hand of God at work in engaging biblical stories that remain true even today in making life decisions. With each film, you'll receive a companion guide with discussion questions and activities to use with your family or a group. God Provides is available now at crown.org or by calling 1-800-722-1976. To learn more about the films, visit crown.org/God Provides.
Welcome back to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley. Our guest today is Rob Schwarzwalder, Senior Vice President of the Family Research Council. Rob, Christians have bought into this idea of smaller families, haven't they?
Too often we've accepted the notion that a number of children in every family, or a good number of children, I should say, is too many, and people are limiting the number of children that they have. If you take a look at the danger this imposes, there are some numbers that inform the way we should think about this. For any family unit to duplicate itself, for any nation to duplicate itself, the birth rate needs to be about 2.1%. Right now, in the African American community in the United States, it's 0.9%. The reason is the abortion industry has made such a profound impact on the inner cities in our country. Here in suburban America, too often we have bought into the mentality that if I have fewer children, I can give those children more things. If I have fewer children, then there will be more economic opportunities for my spouse and myself. Now, it's difficult to make a sweeping judgment, but I would say this. The greatest gift you can give your spouse, the greatest gift you can give yourself, is the gift of life. Children are a heritage from the Lord, and it doesn't mean that every family has to have 20 children. It does mean that when we severely delimit that which God wants to give us, we're in essence saying we want to turn away from the good gifts you have for us, and we want to control the authorship of life rather than you. Does that mean we shouldn't pray about how many children God wants us to have? Does that mean we shouldn't carefully consider when that should happen? Of course not. But it does mean that we should have an approach to children which is positive and joyous, not one that looks at them as burdens to be imposed.
Well, absolutely, Rob. What's the world's population today?
The estimates vary. It's somewhere around probably a little over 6 billion. The fact is, though, that we're in a point where we're going to start declining in population, and that's counterintuitive. A lot of people think, well, there's a massive population explosion. That's actually false, and I would point the listeners to an interesting website called demographicwinter.com. Lots of good information there about the declining, potentially declining population in our world. Let me give a couple statistics to your listeners. We've all heard about China's one-child policy. The result of that policy over the last 30 years is that right now there are between 32 and 33 million men in China who do not have potential wives of marrying age. In other words, in China, there has been sex selection abortion for decades. Because in Chinese culture, the male is valued more highly than the female. There are now more than 30 million men who can't find wives. That's a recipe for social disaster. That shows when we take these policies to a dangerous conclusion, when we try to essentially be the authors of life rather than letting God be the author of life, what we're doing is totally disrupting his plan for the human family, and that brings very dire consequences.
Well, Robin, I know in many nations of the world, Europe, Russia, and others, in Japan, there are unsustainable birth rates. People are not being able to perpetuate their own nationality, their own people, because they've bought into this lie. And that's happening right here in America, isn't it?
We're at a point now where in the next few decades, we are facing the dire prospect of having negative economic growth. The reason is we can't get qualified, well-trained workers, and the reason we can't get them is we don't have them. Since Roe v. Wade in 1973, the infamous decision that legalized abortion on demand, minimally 46 million unborn children, an entire, well, actually two generations worth of our fellow citizens have been destroyed in vitro. That's a tragedy for their mothers, it's a tragedy for their fathers, but it's also a tragedy for our country, because by virtue of eliminating that entire multi-generation of Americans, we have destroyed our ability to thrive as we otherwise could. We're now having to look outside our borders for a sufficient number of workers. And the thing that's so ironic is it's people who provide us with innovation and prosperity. It's people who come up with the best ideas. It's people who come up with the things that make our lives better. And unless we have more people, our lives economically, financially, in every way are going to begin to deteriorate, because we won't have the innovation, we won't have the simple employees we need to make our companies work and to keep our country thriving.
Are there any attempts to adopt a one-child policy here in the U.S.? Is anybody currently beating that drum in the public arena today?
There have been some who have argued that we need to have essentially zero population growth, and in fact, there are groups in the United States that do advocate that. Thankfully, they're in the minority, and I think it's wonderfully ironic that the people who call for one child or zero children, zero population growth, or letting every other couple have one child, these are people who themselves had their own parents not been given discretion about when and how many children to have. They wouldn't be here to make those calls. They wouldn't be here to make those arguments. We need to think about how God wants us as Christians to view the prospect of a godly heritage. And if we believe and take Scripture seriously, we have to view children as the greatest legacy the Lord can give us. Value them, cherish them, and have them.
Well, Rob, I gave a talk recently to a large group of our staff from around the world talking about what we believe about God, what we believe about money does, in fact, influence our birth rate. And one of our staff members there from Pakistan said that currently in the mosques in Pakistan, you can actually hear blaring over the loudspeaker the call from the imams to have more children. They're wanting to increase and populate the world through their birth rate. And yet in our country and in Christian circles, we're seeing it go the opposite direction. And I want to talk to you more about how Christians should be responding to this declining birth rate issue. You're listening to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley. We've got to take a break, and we'll be right back.
it feels like talking to your young child about money just isn't enough, there's a fun, easy, and visual way you can show them how to honor God with their money. The ABC Learning Bank from Crown Financial Ministries. This popular tool goes beyond the traditional piggy bank. Created with three colorful compartments in the shape of letters, the ABC Learning Bank will give your child a fun, hands-on learning experience as they discover that A is for giving, B is for saving, and C is for spending. Imagine them applying that learning for a lifetime. The ABC Learning Bank is recommended for children ages 3 and older. To order an ABC Learning Bank for a child in your life, go to crown.org or call 1-800-722-1976. Again, the ABC Learning Bank is available by calling 1-800-722-1976 or visiting crown.org.
Welcome back to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley with our guest today, Rob Schwarzwalder of the Family Research Council. Rob, we've been talking this entire program about the population control movement and its impact upon our thinking as Christians and a declining birth rate here even in the United States. How should we as Christians respond to this movement? What are some practical steps we need to take today?
There are a few things that I would recommend. First is we need to have a biblical understanding of the nature of the family. The Bible says that God has created every one of us in His image and likeness. If that's true, then every one of us has been uniquely and decisively made by the God of the universe. That means we need to honor and dignify human life. In light of that, the second thing we need to do as parents is to understand that children are a blessing. People will often say, especially when they're newly married, I'm not ready for children, or I'm not even sure I want to have children. We need to get out of that mindset and realize we're never ready for a lot of things, but God calls us to take on the responsibilities and the joys that He offers us. One of the principal reasons of marriage, as you well know, Chuck, is to raise up a godly seed for the next generation. Can't do that unless we have children. A third thing that we need to do is confront the lie that's being told and dumped into us by our culture, by some elements of the media, by some elements of the science community that say that people are the problem. People are not the problem. We have the resources in our world to distribute adequately food, clean water, disease-resistant crops, all kinds of things that can help people thrive and live abundantly on this beautiful planet God has given us. We need to look at some basic data that's readily available to us and take the argument right back into the teeth, as it were, of some of those who would say that human beings are a cancer or are a disease or that we're the problem. The fourth thing I think we need to do is we need to live exemplary lives in terms of the way that we live with our children, live with our wives and husbands. We need to make sure that the world looks at us and says, a family is a beautiful thing. A godly family is something that I want to emulate. I think by doing that, we give lie to the fact that children are adversarial or children are a problem, and we point to the reality that a family that's oriented around Christ, that loves one another, however big it might be, is a family that we should want to be a part of.
Well, Rob, thank you so much for that wonderful summary. I just want to shout that from the rooftops. I appreciate your work at Family Research Council, and thanks for being our guest today.
It's been my pleasure. Thanks so much for having me.
Well, I hope this program has been an encouragement to you. I certainly want to combat that lie that people are the problem and that we're all here to save the earth. We're here to have dominion over the earth. And the solution is not to have fewer children, but to be fruitful and multiply and learn to be good and faithful stewards, bringing glory to God who put us on His beautiful, abundant earth. Well, you've been listening to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley. We'll be back again next time.